This is Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Hello, and how are you today? We've got a great show coming up. I'm looking forward to both of my guests today. And, you know, this whole vegan thing has been going on for a long time. And what we talk about on It's All About Food is certainly food and how food affects our personal health, the health of the planet, and certainly the animals that we choose to either eat or not eat. And what's really wonderful is that we're gaining a lot of momentum. And people are thinking about vegans differently than they used to and thinking about vegetarians differently than certainly when I got started. Seems like centuries ago, maybe 30-some-odd years ago. And the thing that we find is that everyone's on a different journey. And we discover the vegetarian diet, the vegan diet, in a unique way, each one of us. We react to it in a unique way. And some of us decide to eat this type of diet. Some of us choose not to. But each one of us has a very different life experience and a very different journey. And so our decisions to do certain things are different, and how we do things are different. Okay, difference is the theme here. But some people find changing diets very easy. Most people have challenges, and different people's stories and methods will resonate with certain people and not with others. And so that's the great thing about what's going on right now, because there are so many different vegetarian voices out there that are going to connect with certain people and help them move to a better place on the food continuum. And we've got one of them today. We're going to be talking to Sister Vegetarian, and we're going to be talking to Donna Beaudoin, or you could correct me if I didn't pronounce it correctly, but she's the author of a new book, Sister Vegetarian's 31 Days of Drama-Free Living. Welcome to It's All About Food, Donna.
Thank you, Karen. How are you doing?
Good. How do you say your last name?
Beaudoin.
Beaudoin. Okay. I'm like trying to make it French, you know, like Beaudoin or something, and I get confused.
That's fine. Just call me Donna.
Okay. And I just realized when I made some posts on Facebook and Twitter today that I made it Sister Vegetarian and not Sister Vegetarian, because I was confusing it with Sister Vegan, and I apologize.
That's fine. I call myself Sister Vegetarian because I just see vegetarians and vegans as a part of the same family. We all want to get healthy. We want to save the environment. We want to save animals. So I thought of sister as I'm just a part of your family. I am your sister. I am your aunt. I'm like a mother figure. We're all part of the same family, so that's why I use the word sister.
Well, I like it because people may not realize it, but we are all one family on this planet.
Exactly.
We are all connected.
Mm-hmm.
All of our actions, however insignificant they may seem, are significant to everyone else on the planet. We breathe the same air.
Right.
It's really powerful. I was watching a Deepak Chopra video just this week, and he was talking about this concept, and it really was profound, down to the cellular level, how deeply connected we all are.
That is true, yes. And that's my book speaks to vegetarians and vegans. A lot of guest stars are vegetarian and moved to a vegan. But it speaks to everyone in trying to help people to become a vegetarian or become a vegan. The recipes are vegan with a vegetarian twist, if that's what you want to be.
With a vegetarian twist, okay. Or a vegan twist.
Mm-hmm.
Or a little lemon or lime.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. The challenge. People have a hard time on diets, period. And I'm always saying it's not a diet. It's a lifestyle, or at least this particular path.
I agree.
And that's part of the secret to having stability and success. When it's not something you're going to do for a short time to lose a few pounds, it becomes your life.
It is a part of your life. It's a journey.
But
it is a lifetime journey.
But as you mentioned throughout the book, there's all this drama.
It is. And some people go to being a vegetarian or vegan easily, and some don't. And it's based upon my experiences alone, not being a medical physician in a medical field. I based on my experiences and talking to a lot of people. And we go through different types of societal myths and things we hear maybe among friends or family or work, that maybe we start out being a vegetarian or vegan and good intentions, and we hear that little buzz in the ear, and then we stop. I mentioned in the book, you know, someone was a vegan for 6 years, and then they just couldn't deal with all the emotional things going around them, and then they just stopped being a vegan. So my book is addressing all the drama that we come across, because I realize it's so many cookbooks out there and how to be a vegetarian and you know, eating vegetarian or vegan, but nothing really addresses the societal myths or the drama we come across with friends and family and coworkers and just society alone. And it's just out there to address it, to help you to become strong. Because in the book, in the beginning of the book, I mentioned that you have to have a strong will. You have to have a strong mind. And that's what you really need along in this journey.
Well, don't you need that to succeed in everything?
Exactly.
People, I think that's what I hear about most, the societal pressures that people have. But
right.
I'm continually thinking that it's not necessarily the diet or this this lifestyle that's really the issue. It just sort of brings out or magnifies everything going on in someone's life. And so if there are issues with a relationship or with a family or with a coworker, this is just an opportunity to make it worse or bring it out, bring it to a head.
Yeah, I mean, the recipes of being a vegetarian or vegan are wonderful. I never hear anyone complain about eating the foods. It's always just the little issues they have to deal with, and maybe being the only person that they know who's a vegetarian or vegan. So that's why I came up with 30 days of trying to help people through the different situations that they may come across. Because as I said, if we need to have strong minds and know that we can do this and we can get over the mountain. We can climb up and just be on the top of the mountain shining, I am here forever. I am a vegetarian vegan forever.
Yes!
Without changing. Just because some person buzzed into our ear. So I wanted to make people strong, men and women strong, in being a vegetarian or vegan.
Well,
you know, they can dust themselves off. Just, you know, everyone falls down. But, you know, you got to know that you have to get right back up. Dust yourself off and get right back up and keep walking.
This is a positive, motivational book. It's disguised as a vegetarian journey. But it really is.
Yes.
Something that we should apply to everything, kind of re-scripting those crazy voices in our heads.
Exactly. And toward the end of the book, I give like 10 energy bars, I call it.
I like that.
You know, powerful tips to help you along your way. Yes.
Very good. You know, you might even market them as in the shape of an energy bar.
Exactly.
People can put them in their wallet when they want to eat something. No, read one of these.
Exactly. Yeah, and I thought of energy bars because, you know, I ran races and, you know, me and my husband hike, and energy bars give us energy in between the meals. And I'm thinking, you know what, we need some energy, just little tidbits of energy to keep us going through the day in between our meals. And that's how I came out with those 10 energy bars, or 10 powerful points to get us started.
Can you remember, or did you have particularly difficult social situations, either with your family or at work, that you might share?
Just being the only vegetarian initially, mainly at work. So it's kind of difficult initially, and then I started to convert maybe to people at work, and people starting to realize, like, hey, this is a wonderful lifestyle. I think my family was more accepting. My husband, it took a while, and he was very supportive, though, and now he's a vegetarian himself.
I was going to ask you that because that wasn't clear in the book, but yeah.
Yeah, he's a vegetarian now. He became one in June.
Congratulations. June. Tell him I congratulate him.
He was very supportive, but I think it was more so the outside, because he spent a lot of time outside the home and work situations and in other type of groups, and you get more pressure from there.
Yeah, but I think it's the hardest in a relationship if you're not eating similarly, because eating is such an important event every day.
It is very important.
And when you're in a relationship sharing, that's like such a great way to share.
That's true. And initially, before you became vegetarian, we were cooking two different meals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it got kind of hard sometimes. And a lot of people ask me, well, if your spouse is not a vegetarian and you are, how do you work that out? But, I mean, you still eat together. You still cook together. I mean, it can be done. A lot of people don't want to become a vegetarian vegan if their spouse or significant other is not. And I say, go for it. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people would like to wait for that other person. But if you do it, the other person will more than likely follow lead also. You have to be the person to start it.
And I think I'm onto something here and it's not coming out. But I think you can definitely get on a vegetarian path, and if your partner isn't interested, you can ultimately prepare one meal, but the other person who isn't interested in being vegetarian can add the animal products.
That's true.
Like, you can always grate cheese on top of anything.
Exactly.
And you can crumble in or put some grilled chicken on top of anything, and you can ultimately eat the same thing.
That is true, and I find that with me and my husband. He's a vegetarian, I'm a vegan, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, we'll have maybe, let's say, I'll put something out easy like a pasta dish, and he maybe will, on his plate, grate cheese,
mm-hmm.
and I will probably have nutritional yeast maybe on top of mine.
Right, right.
But that's true, you can add little things.
Yeah, I lived in France in the early 90s, and I used to make a lot of vegan dishes, and that's cheese country, and many
mm-hmm.
of my friends, before even eating, try what I would offer. They were just grating all the
exactly.
cheese all over it. Okay,
yes,
fine, that's
yes.
fine.
Exactly. I used to be a cheese nut, too. That was one thing that was hard to give up,
mm-hmm.
and switching from vegetarian to vegan, and it's hard for a lot of vegetarians to give up.
It's addicting.
It is addicting, yes.
There's a lot of evidence now that shows that it does stuff in our brains that has addictive properties.
Exactly. And you know what? I felt so much lighter and just so, I don't know the word for it, but just on top of the mountain when I gave up the cheese and just became a vegan, just felt so much more alive.
Well, you're tiny. And I caught some of your videos on YouTube, and you
mm-hmm.
can really see how fit and trim and slim you
thank
are.
Thank you.
And
it didn't start that way.
Well, that's what you describe in the book. So,
yes, I was always small, and then I would say when I hit 40, about 5 years ago, I started to gain weight. In 3 years, I went from a size 4 to a size 14.
Woo!
And couldn't figure out what was wrong. I started to have a lot of stomach problems, too. And I would say probably even before that, within a 10-year period, I was hospitalized 4 times for stomach problems. Doctors couldn't find anything wrong with me, so I put matters in my own hands. Last time I was sick, I just said, you know what, I'm just going to do it myself. I gave up meat. I became a vegetarian. It was actually more so probably 90% vegan I was eating.
Mm-hmm.
And all my stomach problems of over 10 years disappeared. My weight dropped immediately. That's why I said it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle change. I didn't even do it to drop weight. It just ended up dropping.
Mm-hmm.
And my stomach problems stopped. And I went from a size 14 to a size 4. I always did love to hike and exercise, and I never had back pains until I started to get heavy. I no longer had back pains or stomach pains. I mean, is just great.
It's magic.
Yeah, yeah, it healed my body, yeah. It was great.
One of the things that people often talk about about losing weight is making smaller portions and eating less, and I scream when I hear this because it's hard for people to do that and to feel unsatisfied, not feel full. And yet when you're eating correctly, when I look at the plates of food that I eat, it's ridiculous. I can't get a bowl that's big enough sometimes for the salad or the soups that I eat.
Exactly, yeah. And people can't believe how much I eat, but yet won't gain the weight because I'm eating healthy foods and my body is being provided with nutrients and healthy foods that is just helped me to sustain my weight at what it should be.
Whole minimally processed foods are filled with fiber, especially when they're raw. They're filled with water.
Exactly.
And that makes the belly feel full. And and it makes the brain satisfied because you're getting the vitamins and nutrients that you need.
That's true. And I eat a lot of raw foods. I incorporate raw foods in my my meals every day, usually in a lot of greens. I eat a lot of raw greens, collard greens, mustard greens, turnip greens, beet greens. I eat a lot of raw greens every day, whether as a part of a lunch stuffed in a wrap or a salad. Sometimes I'll make a raw vegan lasagna or a raw vegan pesto, where I make the pesto.
I like the mustard green pesto recipe in your book.
Thank you. And sometimes I'll put the mustard green pesto on top of shredded raw collard greens, where the collard greens act as a more like a pasta instead of using a pasta.
Right. Well, they have a good chew.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Well, I can't say enough about eating greens. I really think that's the secret to life.
It is, and like I said, I'm not a physician, but I tell you, I have not been sick in 3 years since I switched from being eating meat to being a vegetarian, now vegan. Never had a flu shot in my life, and in 3 years I haven't had any colds, flus, nothing.
That's pretty
nothing
good.
Nothing whatsoever. I don't even take supplements or vitamins, so it's something about living a plant-based diet.
Now, you live in North Carolina.
I do, yes.
Right, and there's a lot of problems in North Carolina. There's a wide range of lifestyles.
It is.
From rich, very rich to very poor, and lots in the middle. And there are areas that are called food deserts. And there's a lot of animal agriculture that goes on there.
It is.
Most of it's hidden to the public. It's a very interesting place. It's got a lot of things going on.
It does, and slowly the vegetarian vegan community is rising, mainly in the Durham, Chapel Hill, Raleigh area, and Asheville area also, which is toward the mountains. Still got a way to go. We're not similar to the communities more up north, maybe above Virginia, but we do have a lot ways to go. North Carolina is still more so, I would say, the rib capital. They still love their ribs and barbecue meat.
Yeah.
But we're working on it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of, a lot going on there. And, well, so one of the problems that people have, if they want to eat better, some people are in neighborhoods where it's really hard to access food.
Yes.
I think you even, did you mention something like that in the beginning of the book? I think I was reading where you were buying from a store near where you worked and not in your...
One of my local stores near my home.
Oh, now I remember what it was. Why don't you tell me?
They did not have a great selection of, I would say, vegetarian and vegan products, and the produce was good, but they need a little bit more. And they used to have, actually still have it, it's called Talk to, I won't say the grocery store name, but it was Talk to That Grocery Store. You email them after your grocery experience and rate them and give comments. And the next week, I would go into the store, I was like, wow, they added this. And I remember I mentioned in my email. And then I email again because I would give them positive feedback also. My husband and I have been shopping at the store for years. And I get positive feedback on the staff also, but another week I mention something and they have something else there.
Nice.
So the grocery stores do listen to you. So if you're in that food desert area, don't think the stores will not listen to you. They will. Email them, call them on the phone, talk to the manager in person. They will listen. Don't think they won't. You should have what you want to have in that store. They're servicing you. You're not servicing them.
There's so many good points there. It's so important for us to act as individuals because we do matter, and everything that we do,
that's correct,
makes a difference. And just by simply asking, ask and you shall receive.
Exactly. Exactly. And a great thing is, it's so funny, after, you know, commenting all the time, the manager even posted something that to the staff to say, hey, people are commenting on the email about the store, you know, keep up the good work.
Mm-hmm.
So they do listen. The stores do listen.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have, I don't know, about 8 more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things about the recipes in your book, they're really very straightforward. They're pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, a really good beginning for diving in here. It's based on beans and vegetables and spices. All of this stuff is really flavorful.
Mm-hmm. And I love world recipes, and I wanted to just put a lot of recipes in there that I enjoy and people throughout the world eat. There are many countries that are vegetarian-based, and I put these recipes in here to make it not so hard. As a working person myself, I know how hard it is to work all day and want to come home and cook a nice meal for your family. But a meal that, you know, you both can, and everyone in the family can just sit down and talk and enjoy. So, you know, I have Ethiopian dish there that is easy to make when you come home from work, that's less than 50 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You can have it on your table right away and with leftovers. So it's just meals that everyone can enjoy, and it introduces you to the world of vegetarian or vegan.
I was in, where was it, last year, I went to Argentina, Buenos Aires, and I was always looking for the veggie healthy places, and I was in one, I think it was like a Mediterranean restaurant, and I ordered hummus, and I ate a lot of hummus, and it tasted okay, but it tasted different, and then I realized it had peanut butter in it, not tahini.
Right.
And I had never had that before, and then I kind of chuckled because you mentioned in your book, if you can't find or don't have tahini, you can use peanut butter, and you certainly can. But you should know, because if you're expecting one and getting the other, it's like, whoa.
Yeah, it is a different taste. And then a lot of places do not have tahini, especially in the south parts of South. It is hard to find, but you can there. So that's a good substitute to use. And then also, I love hummus. I tend to make it every week. And I also let people know that experiment with hummus. Do different things. Just don't do the basics. I love to experiment in making food. So one time I put beets in it. And, oh, my God, it turned out perfect. It was beets. It's a little vegan smoke sauce. And it was creamy. It was great. Another time I tried adding some raisins, gave it a little sweetness to it. Just experiment with hummus. Have fun with it.
Well, you can experiment just with the basic hummus, which is that base of garbanzo beans, chickpeas, or you could use other beans, too.
Exactly,
and
you
then,
can.
So it's,
but
the idea is that it's a bean, a fat, and some flavorings.
Exactly. I have used navy beans, red beans to make hummus, black beans. You can experiment so many different beans.
And then, so what's great about it is, I mean, just, it's so versatile. People don't even realize how simple the variety can be. So it can be a great spread on a sandwich, and the variations are infinite based on the beans that you use, the spices you use, the fats that you use, or no fat. I mean, some people just like to make a garbanzo bean seasoned mash.
Right.
You could,
and sometimes I do it as a spread on one of my vegan sandwiches. I'll grill a portobello mushroom and use it as a spread.
Right. Instead of like a mayonnaise or something, you could use this flavored bean spread.
Mm-hmm.
There's just, it's infinite. Or you could thin it a little bit more, and then it becomes a dip or a dressing.
It does. Exactly.
And it's crazy.
You make me hungry, girl.
Oh, and then, or it could be even as is, like a pate or something.
Exactly,
so,
yes, yes.
Yeah, I'm nuts over beans, or beans over nuts, or something.
I am too, I am too. You can't catch me without some type of bean stew on my stove, usually on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what it's like in North Carolina, but here in New York City, the greatest city in the world, we have everything and more.
Yes. I grew up in North New Jersey.
Right. There you go. And because there are so many different cultures here, there are so many different stores with different foods. And one of my favorites is this Indian store in Queens in Flushing, the Chinatown in Flushing. And,
right.
There are so many beans that I don't even know if I'll ever get to try them all. They're different sizes, color, shapes. They all have different subtle flavor and texture differences. It's a celebration.
It's wonderful, yes. I love it. I love it. I love finding new variety of beans and trying them out. It's great.
Yeah, and the other thing is the colors are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. They're beautiful, yes.
And we have glass jars, and, you know, we don't have a lot of cupboard space, and so they're out on display in glass jars, and they're just lovely, yellow and
they
orange
are,
and pink. And
that's true. The cranberry beans are beautiful. The azuki beans, oh, my gosh, yes. Like I said, you're making me hungry here.
Yeah, so you know.
Put a pot of bean soup on her.
And you compare that with, I don't know, a burger on white bread, and it's kind of that gray-brown food.
Exactly, yeah. I love just putting varieties in my beans, such as in the stews. I use a lot of greens, different varieties of greens in the stew just to thicken it. So, yeah, it's great.
Right. Okay, we have just a couple of minutes left. So you mentioned you're eating more raw food. I think I read somewhere you're becoming certified as a raw food.
I just finished a certification in raw food, and the purpose was mainly because I do eat probably about 50% or more raw food a week. And just to show vegetarians and vegans to try to incorporate raw foods, such as raw greens, into their meals, either on a daily basis or every other day in some part of their meal, just for added nutritional benefit. Because, like I said, I'm not a physician, but I tell you, in 3 years, in just eating vegan and some of the raw meals, I really have kept colds and flus at bay. I haven't caught anything. So it really does help us to stay healthy.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Donna. Thanks for writing Sister Vegetarians, 31 Days of Drama-Free Living.
Thank you, Karen. Yes,
and
thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And keep doing it. You're helping so many people.
Thank you so much, and thank you for everyone for supporting me, reading my blog,
and
buying
the book. What is that
blog? Sister Vegetarian? It's sistervegetarian.com, or you can go on the blog directly, sistervegetarian.blogspot.com.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Karen. You have a great and beautiful day.
You too. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. We're going to take a quick break and be back with Sticky Fingers Sweet Storone Peterson. We'll be right back.